then I'll record it for them anyways. Okay, so the sugya that I'm going to deal with, this is one of Rav Lichtenstein's, I think, best articles that I read, one of the first articles I think I read by him. I think I first just put this together as a sheer, maybe when I think all the Gush alumni committed to giving shiurim over Shavuos, the year that Rav Lichtenstein passed away. But it captures some of his approaches to Lamdus and Machshava in sort of a combination. And the sugya really is the question of whether the rules of Oseik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, right, the rule that when one is performing a mitzvah, one is either exempt from or forbidden from, as Machlokas, Tosfos, and the Ran in Sukkah, from performing different mitzvah, whether that applies to Talmud Torah. And really we're going to be focusing just on a seeming quite radical stira in the Rambam, where the Rambam, right, seems to present literally two opposite approaches on this topic, and present several answers in the Achronim, and then Rav Lichtenstein's way of being miyashev this stira. So the sugya that the Rambam is commenting on is in number one, is the Gemara in Kiddushin, where the Gemara writes at Lomot Torah v'lisa isha, if one has the option of either continuing, presumably full time or mostly full time Torah study, or getting married. So the halacha is Yilmad Torah v'achar kach yisa isha. If it's impossible for him to do both at this moment, so he has to prioritize one over the other. So the halacha is, hey Ezra, is that he should learn Torah and push off getting married. Now again, whether the mitzvah there is marriage per se or it's per revu, is subject to a machloket rishonim. In general, the Rambam assumes that kiddushin itself is a mitzvah, or at least seems to. Perhaps kiddushin is part of a broader context with per revu, but definitely counts it as a separate mitzvah. And the Rush does not, the Rush in Aleph Yud Bet and Ksuvos, but at any rate, the Gemara says that one should prioritize the full-time study of Torah and then should get married. V'yemefshar lo b'lo isha, but if he is unable to continue learning without being married, which the way many of the Rishonim understand it is that he's overcome with problematic thoughts, and therefore, if he doesn't get married, he'll be facing a situation of Isser. Either that is all inclusive of the reasons that would count for him Efshar b'lo isha. Alternatively, that's simply an example, which is what the Rambam seems to think, or that anything that could distract someone so that his learning would be ineffective, he would therefore that would be. It would be counterproductive, therefore, for him to learn without getting married. So then, Yisai Shava Achakach Yilmod Torah. He can get married. He should get married and then learn Torah. And Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Nosi Isha Vachakach Yilmod Torah. So Yehuda paskins that he should get married and then learn. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Chaim Bitzavaro V'Yasuk B'Torah. He paskins the opposite. He said, how could that be that you'll have the millstone on your neck, meaning you have now obligations to support a family, and you're going to learn Torah? It's impossible. And the Gemara answers, "Lo pligi halon haluhu." Really, they're not arguing, meaning there is no simple rule. Depends on where you live, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, or whether you're in Bavel. The Rishonim divide on whether people, right, what they agree on is that people in Bavel used to travel to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. They dispute whether it was the people who lived at home who would get married and then learn, because if you lived in Eretz Yisrael, so you could, you know, live in the kol apartment and be married and still learn Torah. But if you were traveling from Bavel, you couldn't do that. Or on the opposite, right? That if you lived in Eretz Yisrael and your family was there, that would distract you from learning. But if you were traveling, so you could take sort of a break from most of your family responsibilities, and you could get married and then move and learn there. But without getting into that sugya too much, the point that what's clear is that however it is that you are capable of learning while married, so then you can get married and then learn. And if you are not capable of learning while married, so then learning takes priority over getting married. So that's the background to this. Now the Rambam in source 2, in the beginning of Perek Tedvav of Hilchot Ishus, first of all, despite the fact that he thinks that there is a mitzvah of Kiddushin, argues that the mitzvah that is under discussion in the Gemara here in Kiddushin is Purvu and not Kiddushin, which is an interesting question, why he does that. And perhaps we'll answer that as we go along. But he writes, Ha'ish mitzuva al piraviriv, right? Men are obligated to procreate. Avalohi isha, but not women, based on the Gemara in Yevamos of Samachay. The Mishnah, really. When does a man become obligated in this mitzvah? Miben sheishes reishana, miben shvas reishana, either from 16 or from 17, which is a bit problematic for some people because the Mishnah that we have in Perkei Avos says that it's 18, though Yitzchak Gilat has pointed out, has pointed out that most of the Rishonim seem not to have access to this Mishnah. It's not really a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. And it seems to be a late Braisa, or just one that was not found amongst the Rishonim. Hence, the Rambam can say 16, 17 and not be worried about the Mishnah or Braisa's 18. The Kevin Shavru Esrim Shanavaloni. What? The famous Mishnah that Ben Shmonasre Lechupa, right? You know, Ben Chamesh Le Mikra and Ben Eser, etc. Eser Le Mishnah, Chamesh Esre Le Talmud, Shmonasre Lechupa, etc. Right, that the latest parts of Pirkei Avos are not really Mishnayos; they are Brisos. Right, the whole sixth parak is only Brisos, and the end of the fifth parak, there are some which seem to be like that as well. And if you look, many Rishonim do not quote that Brisa, and they offer different ages for marriage. They rely just on the Gemara. Right, the Gemara itself seems to put the age of 20 rather than the magic age of 20 rather than 18. Which again, you could say 18 is the best time, and 20 is the latest, as the Gemara in Kiddushin has it. But the Rishonim don't seem to take it that way. They seem just to not have access to this notion, this magic number of 18. Hence, the Rambam writing that the age is 16 or 17. Alternatively, they did have it, and they didn't think it was a firm instruction, right? They think it's like an approximate age, like when you're ready, whatever that is, 16, 17, 18, whatever it is. But they seem not to... Say it again?
I think if you, there's other items in that Mishnah that are, definitely not prescriptive.
Correct. Meaning, you could just read that the entire Mishnah is not... is just, suggestion or something like that. They don't even quote it, though, which is a little bit odd. And then when they do quote it, right, when they do give suggestions, right, it would be weird for the Rambam to give a suggestion, which is Dafka, not the Mishnah's, if he had that Mishnah, even if it wasn't prescriptive, right? Like, if he had the Mishnah, to Dafka go out of his way and give a year earlier, unless he's describing the norm in Egypt, where he lived, right? He's giving you... So it's not clear. So either they just don't think it's prescriptive at all, or they don't really have access to it, or whatever the case may be. I mean, the Gemara itself doesn't quote it, right? The Gemara doesn't quote it in its context of you have to get married by 20, right? Doesn't bring up, and the Mishnah says you should get married at 18. Just one second. All right. I can't concentrate. Yeah, okay. The kid's screaming. Okay. But the second line in the Rambam is quoted from the Gemara, where he says, "V'kevin shavu esrim shana v'lo nasaisha." And once he passes 20 and he isn't married, hareza over. So then he violates umvatel mitzvah asay. V'im haya osek b'Torah. And this is where he invokes the Gemara that we just saw. But if he's involved in Torah v'tarudba, and this is where the Rambam makes it clear, it doesn't mean just like learning an hour a day. He means like you're involved in Torah, whatever that means. Let's say full time. V'haya mityare milisa isha, and therefore he's fearful of getting married. Kidei shelo yitrach b'mizanot v'yivatel mimena mitzvah. He doesn't want to have to get a job, and then he'll be unable to learn Torah. Hareze mutar l'hitacher. He's allowed to delay getting married and having children, right? That's what the Rambam thinks is going on here. Sha'osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Because we have a general rule in Torah that anyone who is involved in a mitzvah is exempt or forbidden from performing another mitzvah. V'kol shekein b'talmud Torah. And if it's true of any mitzvah, it's definitely true of Talmud Torah. Now, What's odd about this Rambam is the Rambam, both in Hilchot Kriyat Shema and Hilchot Tefillah, says the opposite and seems to say that Osek b'mitzvah, Patra min ha-mitzvah, applies to all mitzvot except for Talmud Torah. Right? So it's not just in one place he says it applies, in one place he says it does not apply, in one place he says it does not apply, in one place he says it is the paradigm of mitzvot to which this rule should apply. So if you look at the next source, the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah, he writes, Mishai Osek b'Talmud Torah v'giyaz man tefillah, posek u'mitpalel. If someone is involved in Torah and it comes time to daven, stop and daven. Unless he's at the point of Torato Umnato, which is a category the Gemara gives to Ben Azai, who said he wasn't capable of getting married because Nafsho Chashka Bet Torah, he's so overcome with devotion, with love to the Torah. So if 24/7, that's the only thing you do, you don't do anything else, right? You don't go on vacation, you're not capable of doing anything else. So then, you don't do any other work. So, and then you're learning, even through davening, so ain't oposek. Because Torah is greater than tefillah. So the Rambam here says, if you are Torato umnato, that you are totally consumed by Talmud Torah, so then you have a special exemption, and you can learn through davening. But the average person, which is presumably the category in number two as well, right? Someone who's going to be working, right? In number two, the Rambam is talking about someone who's going to be working, which means that you're not Torato Umnato as defined in Hilchot Tefillah. So a normal person, he has to stop learning in order to daven, presumably because the rule of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, of one who's involved in a mitzvah is exempt or forbidden from performing another mitzvah, does not apply to Talmud Torah. And if you look at the Rambam, and he says the same thing by Kriyat Shema. So here you have this contradiction, where the Rambam in Perek Tedvav, Hilchos Isho, says that Talmud Torah is the paradigm. That if it's true that one who's involved in a mitzvah is exempt from other mitzvot, so for sure Talmud Torah. And in Tefillah and Kriyat Shema, the Rambam says the opposite, and says, well, every other mitzvah, right, if I was in the middle of returning a lost object, then I would not have to daven, I would not have to say Kriyat Shema. If I'm involved in Talmud Torah, so then I do have to, because Osek B'mitzvah does not apply. Which creates, as I said, the tension in the Rambam. Now before we try to answer it, let's just see two more sources. Let's see the Rambam in Hilchot Talmud Torah and the Gemara in Moed Katan, where he derives his next comment from. So he writes, "Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvot kulan shishkula keneged Talmud Torah." There is no mitzvah that is equivalent to Torah study. Ela Talmud Torah keneged kol ha-mitzvot kulan. Studying Torah is equivalent to all other mitzvot. Sha Talmud mevi lidei maaseh, because Talmud Torah brings to action. Lefichach haTalmud kodem lemaaseh bechol makom. And therefore, if I have a choice to learn or do mitzvot, so then, meaning not, right, if I have a choice, not I'm involved already, if I have a choice, so then I learn, and then I choose to learn Torah. But hayal lefanav asiyat mitzvah b'talmud Torah, if this is not theoretical, right, I'm not in a neutral zone, where I have nothing pressing per se, but I actually have the performance of a particular mitzvah in Talmud Torah. So, im efshar lemitzvah le'asod al yedei achirim lo yafsik talmudo, if someone else can perform the mitzvah, so then I'll keep learning. V'im lav ya'asa mitzvah v'yachzor l'terato, and if not, I have to perform the mitzvah, and then I'll keep learning. So here, again, you have a problem, because the Rambam argues that yes, Talmud Torah is important, and yes, if I have nothing pressing, then I should choose to learn rather than perform some other mitzvah. And if someone else can perform the mitzvah, so then fine, then I keep learning. But if it actually comes to a conflict where I can learn Torah, now I'm already learning, because the Rambam used the word yafsik, meaning I'm already involved in learning. Right? This is not, again, neutral. Like I'm starting at zero. I'm actually already involved in Torah. Hence, I'd have to be mafsik. I'd have to stop my learning. So if you're faced with Talmud Torah and a mitzvah, so you have to stop learning Torah and perform the mitzvah, which is, again, not true of any other mitzvah, because of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. The Rambam derives this from number four In Moed Katan, Daf Ten Amud Bet, where the Gemara says, "Ar Yasve v'kami Bailu K'tiv," the Gemara brings a stira where it says, "Yikara him mipninim v'kol chavatecha lo yishvuba." The Torah is described as more precious than rubies, than precious stones, and all of your desires, which the Gemara reads as all human desires, are not equivalent to Torah, which implies hachefte shemaim yishvuba, but the desires of God, meaning mitzvot, are equivalent to Torah. Uchtiv kol chavatim lo yishvuba, but in the 8th paragraph of Mishlei it says, all desires, which implies even God's desires, i.e. mitzvot, are not equivalent to the unique, sui generis mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Dafil cheftei shamayim lo yishvuva. That even the desires of God are not equivalent to the Torah. So how could it be? Is Talmud Torah equivalent to mitzvot or not? So the Gemara says, kan b'mitzvah she'efshar la'asotah yidei acherim, it depends. If someone else can perform the mitzvah, so then Talmud Torah is more important. If others can perform the mitzvah, then your Talmud Torah takes precedence. Which, again, the Rambam takes as meaning that Osek b'mitzvah, patra min ha-mitzvah, seems to apply to, in a limited sense, where if someone else can to perform the mitzvah, so then I can keep learning. But if not, unique among mitzvah. Because again, this isn't true of returning a lost object, right? Which is the Gemara's example of Oseg B'mitzvah Patra Min HaMitzvah, right? If I am involved in returning a lost object and someone else can do it, I should still continue returning the lost object and not shove it onto someone else so I can do a different mitzvah, as opposed to Talmud Torah. So there's this tension in exactly what the rule is by Talmud Torah. So is it the exception where Osek B'mitzvah, Patra Min HaMitzvah does not apply? Or, as the Rambam presents it in Hilchos Ishus, by marriage, it's the paradigm that if Osek B'mitzvah exempts / forbids me from doing a different mitzvah in general, then for Talmud Torah, it for sure should be true because Talmud Torah is the greatest of all mitzvot. Right? So is it the least in this sense or the most of Osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah? And that's really the contradiction that everyone wants to solve in the Rambam. Wow. So, I'll come back to the Yerushalmi in a moment. I'll do this a little bit out of order. You can turn off the mute and see, throw out some suggestions before we look at the Achronim. Right? What would you think? Right? How do you solve this seeming the stira in the Rambam here is quite extreme, right? It's not just us or mutter, it's yes, no. It's paradigm versus exception in the opposite direction. So what would you say? Right? How do you resolve the tension here in the Rambam?
Well, so I don't have an answer yet, but a difference the cases seem to be different in that we're talking about Pur Uvu, it seems to be talking about in a general sense of, it's not about a particular instance of doing the mitzvah or doing Talmud Torah. But that seems like it's by Tfila and by Shema, it seems that it's a particular instance.
Good. So that's essentially what the Aruch HaShulchan says. If you look at number 8, right, he says, "V'afal gav d'osek b'torah ein lo liftor atzmo mimitzvot." He says, even though Talmud Torah is not enough to exempt you from mitzvot in general, mikol makom mitzvot puruvu du zachar v'nekeva yesh lo adayin zman l'kayem v'have k'mitzvah she'en overet mitzvah Talmud Torah doche. He says, look, this is different because it's true. If you're faced with davening or Talmud Torah or Shmona Esrei and Talmud Torah, so then if you keep learning, you will miss Zman Kriya Shema or Zman Tefillah. By Puravu, so you'll learn for another year or two. Lo Sof Olam, right? So you'll get married at 22 or 23. I got married at 23. It was totally fine, right? Like, you can do that. You can push it off for a few years and you'll still have time to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Puravu. Right, so what the Aruch HaShulchan argues is, look, you're right, Talmud Torah cannot push off a mitzvah in the sense that it can exempt you from a mitzvah. but it can allow you to delay a mitzvah. Right? That's Erech HaShulchan's claim. That Puravu, in that sense, is unique. Now, it sort of works, but there's a problem with the Erech HaShulchan, which is linguistic. Right? There's a language problem here, which is, according to the Erech HaShulchan, the real rule is what? Is Osek B'mitzvah does not apply to Talmud Torah. It just happens to be that by a mitzvah, she'en overet, right, by a mitzvah which is not, you know, it's not a rush, so then, it's, you know, it's just a mere delay, so Talmud Torah, which is weaker than other mitzvot, while it can't push off a regular mitzvah, can allow you to delay a mitzvah, right? It can't nullify a mitzvah, but it can allow delaying a mitzvah. Which, while it explains the halachot in the Rambam, it doesn't explain the language of the Rambam. Right, because the Rambam's language in Ishur is not, this is a weaker mitzvah, right? It's that Talmud Torah is the strongest of mitzvot, so obviously can push off any other mitzvah. Right, so the Erech HaShulchan's, again, the Erech HaShulchan solution will solve the halacha problem, but it doesn't explain how the Rambam could say that Talmud Torah is the paradigm, the most powerful of mitzvot, that it can be doche other mitzvot. Because if what he's really saying is Talmud Torah is weaker, it can just allow you to delay, even though it can't allow you to nullify, she shouldn't say Kol Shekein Talmud Torah. He should just say, yeah, Talmud Torah is weaker, but Puravu is also weaker in the sense that it's not nullification, it's mere delay. Right? So the Erech HaShulchan, right, I think, is saying sort of what you're saying, which again, conceptually might work, but it doesn't seem to be the Rambam's position, because linguistically the Rambam goes in the opposite direction. So, what else might you suggest?
That doesn't make sense.
Right, meaning it works as a halachic description, but the Rambam's language is so surprising. So that's the problem. So, what else? Right, I put here three answers from the Acharonim, but you know, let's see. What else do you think? What? How else might you explain the Rambam?
I read the first one.
Okay, so the Maram Shik. So what does the Maram Shik say? This is the first shuv in the Maram Shik. So Maram Shik pulls a little bit of an interesting move, which is not impossible, right? He says, now the Chiddush he says is actually quite radical. I remember one of my chavrusas once wrote an article claiming this, and it was his Chiddush, and I said, you know, I pointed out to him that he apparently forgot that Rav Lichtenstein had quoted this from the Maram Shik. But the Maram Shik argues as follows. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah tells us that a mitzvah she'efshar lasos al yedei achirim is nidcheh by Talmud Torah. Right? A mitzvah that can be done by others is pushed off. But a mitzvah that can only be performed by you is not pushed off. So the Maram Shik argues, well, maybe Puravu is not a personal mitzvah, which is a huge chiddush, but it's primarily a utilitarian mitzvah, right? As we quote from Navi, Lo tov bra'al ha'shevet yitzarah, the world's created to sustain itself. So really, right? Yes, we tell every person you have to have a boy and a girl, but really that's because we want society to have, right? I mean, the way like we talk about it, right? Sustainable rates of procreation are 2.1. Which means that on average, every couple should have 2.1 children, you know, balancing for whatever people who lose children, can't have children, whatever it is. Now, yes, the best way for everybody to ensure that the community continues is for everybody to try to have two children. Now, if that means that some people have one and some people have three, as long as it averages out to 2.1, society will continue. And therefore, even though we say Puravu is every person should have a boy and a girl, what we mean is that really society should have it, and therefore, since it's not at its core a personal mitzvah, it's sort of utilitarian on the world, it's consequentialist, so it's as if it's efshar lasos al yedei achirim. Other people can do it, because look, other people are having kids, they'll have three kids, they'll have four kids, I'll have kids when I get around to it, maybe, and hopefully it all balances out to 2.1. Now, the Maram Shik is a little bit better on this ground than the Erech HaShulchan, because here you could say, you could read it, it's still a little bit hard, but you could say that the way he reads the Rambam is as follows. If you have a mitzvah, she'efshar lasos al yedei achirim, so then kal vachomer, Talmud Torah is docha for some reason. and if it's a mitzvah she'efshar la'asos al-yidei acherim, so then for some reason it's weaker than other mitzvot, which here is not technically impossible. It's not impossible, that's what the Rambam means. But again, it's a little bit weird linguistically, because then you would still be saying that a mitzvah she'efshar la'asos al-yidei acherim, Talmud Torah is the strongest of all mitzvot, and a mitzvah she'efshar la'asos al-yidei acherim is the weakest of all mitzvot. So it's not impossible, you could say that, but it's still a bit hard in the Rambam. Adding to that, that it's a bit weird to say about Pur Avu, that Pur Avu is purely on the world and not on the individual, meaning the Tam HaMitzvah, the philosophy may be we want the world to sustain itself, but the actual Chiyuv that is formulated, the mitzvah, seems to be Al Karpafta de Gavra, that every individual should have a boy and a girl. However you understand that mitzvah.
It seems to be what the structure is.
What?
Yeah, it seems to be what the structure is.
Yeah, right. So again, it would be a huge chiddush in Pur Avu, and it wouldn't be it's not a glot read of the Rambam. Now there is a gra which I didn't put, which is quoted often. I'm not actually sure where it's written. At some point I found it. But the gra sometimes quoted is saying, and this is like a very technical read, which is that look, yes, Talmud Torah is the greatest of all mitzvot, and therefore Osek mitzvah patanam and mitzvah applies to it. The problem is that Talmud Torah is such a great mitzvah that every word of Torah is an independent mitzvah. And therefore, you're never really Osek in Talmud Torah, because as soon as you finish the word, you finish this mitzvah, and now you're at netto, right? Now you're at neutral zone again. And therefore, you keep finishing atomic mitzvot, and therefore you're not involved in Talmud Torah. That's very hard. I mean, it might be true, but it's very hard, because first of all, the Rambam clearly recognized the concept of osek, right, of being involved in Talmud Torah, and even if like you rack up schus in Olam Haba for every word of Talmud Torah, it's hard to say that there isn't a process called Limud Torah, which you're involved in. So that's a third answer that's thrown out in the Acharnim. The fourth answer in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in the third perek of the Kuntres Talmud Torah, I'll say this outside, is to be mechadesh, that really when we say Talmud Torah, there are two completely separate mitzvah that we mean. One is Yediat HaTorah, and one is Limud Torah. Right? There's learning, and there's knowing Torah. And the way the Rambam will be parsed is as follows. Yediat HaTorah, which he defines as... There was 1 second. Aaron, what's wrong? Okay, Aaron, do you want to come and sit with me while I learn?
No.
Okay, well, you can't stay here and cry, Aaron. 1 second. Aaron, do you want to know something special? Come to me. Aaron can join me for this year because the chidush in that I'm saying in Torah, do you know whose chidush this was? It was of Aaron Lechonsin. Who was named for him? Were you named for him? Yeah, so you want to be here for it? You can be here for it, okay? Just stay quiet and listen to it, okay? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav claims as follows. He said, look, there's a mitzvah called Limud Torah, which means learning, right? Yomam v'layla, you got to be learning all the time. And then there's Yediata Torah, which he defines as acquiring the basic corpus of Torah knowledge. Right? The way he says it, right, is... in order to be able to learn, you need to have covered the basics of Talmud Torah. Once you know the basics, so then you can pick up a sefer at any time in life, and you can build on that knowledge, and you can sharpen that knowledge, and you can deepen that knowledge, and you can do eon in that knowledge. But if you don't have basic bekiyas in Torah, so it's very, very hard to actually learn. So Yediyat Torah obligates you to cover that fundamental corpus. Limud Torah is a daily mitzvah. So Limud Torah is constant, but Yediyat Torah is actually quantifiable. Once I cover certain key texts, so then I have been yotzei, so to speak, the mitzvah of Yediyat Torah. Now, if you look at that footnote, he actually is quite expansive, and what that means is like all of Tanakh with Mefarshim, and all of Mishnah and Tosefta and Bavli and Yerushalmi and Midrash, and it goes on for a while. There's a lot of Chomer there. I don't know how many people even get to that basic obligation as the Shulchan Aruch Rav defines it. But now bringing it to the Rambam, the way he argues is as follows. He says, look, the mitzvah of Limud Torah, right, the day in, day out mitzvah of just knowing basic Torah knowledge, that Oseg B'mitzvah doesn't apply to. But when the Rambam is talking to Chazishas, he's not saying, you know, I need 5 years just to learn randomly. He means, I need a few more years to cover the basics of Torah to make sure that I am filled with that essential corpus of Talmud Torah. And that mitzvah, Yediyat HaTorah, is so important that that's going to be poter as a mitzvah. But Limud Torah is not as important. And Limud Torah is not sufficient. Now, he doesn't explain why, right? But he says that the way to be mashed of the steer is the Rambam is talking about two separate mitzvot, Yediyat versus Limud Torah. So, again, it's a bit problematic because the Rambam doesn't say there's two types of mitzvot, and it's not clear why Yediyat HaTorah is more important than Limud Torah in some fundamental sense. But that's Shulchan Aruch HaRav's solution to the problem.
It's also weird that the two mitzvot are both called Talmud Torah.
Correct, right? Meaning he's being mechadesh, the Rambam used the same word to talk about two completely separate mitzvos. Now, there may be two aspects of the mitzvah. That's fair to say. But the way he presents it, right, these are two fundamentally different mitzvot, one of which Oseg B'mitzvah applies to because it's not as important, so to speak, and one which is super important, that is a bit of a strange, right? It's a bit of a strange formulation. So, so Rav Lichtenstein took a different approach. And he, and you'll, what his claim was in Lamdos also has implications for sort of philosophy in a neat way. So, but he, to base his approach, he goes to the Yerushalmi in 5 and 6. So if you go back to the Yerushalmi has the same discussion. It says as follows. Amar Rabbi Zeira bar Rabbi Acha Masik V'koin. Say it again. What did you say? Okay, the Yerushalmi in 5. So he says, Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Acha Mafsik V'kaim Duchshash K'hadein Tanya D'tani Kozvei Svarim Tfilin V'zuzon Mafsikin L'kriyat Shema V'ein Mafsikin V'tfilah. Rabbi Chanina Ben Akiva Kavya Omer K'shem Shemazin L'kriyat Shema Kach Mafsin L'tfilah Tfilin Shem Mitzvotah Shel Torah. So you have Reb Zeira quotes from Reb Acha that a sofer would stop for Shema but not for Tfila, presumably because one's Daraisa, one's Darabanan. And Reb Chanina Ben Akavya Paskins like the Bavli that you stop Safros even for, which is presumably also a kim of Talmud Torah, for all mitzvos in the Torah. Okay. But in the second source, the Gemara explains why Oseg Mitzvah doesn't apply normally to Talmud Torah. And he writes as follows. V'lomode Rashbi. Right? Does Rav Shimon Bar Yochai not agree shemafsikin lasot sukkah v'lasot lulav, that you stop learning to build a sukkah and to prepare your lulav? The lit leila Rashbi halomed amenat laasot v'lom lomed shelo laasot shalomed shelo laasot noachlo shelo nivra. Doesn't he hold that learning Torah for the purpose of performing a mitzvah is something, right? It's that's how Torah is supposed to be done, and you shouldn't learn not with the intent to perform. The amar Rabbi and. And anyone who learns without the intent to perform, it's better that he should never have been created. The Amr of Yochanan alamet shelo laaso noach lo el ilu nehepchashil yatol panav lo yatza leolam. And that if someone learns without the intent to perform, it would have been better for his placenta to have been turned backwards, so he would never have entered the world, right? So instead of coming out of his mother, he would have stayed in. So this is how the Yerushalmi explains why Talmud Torah one must stop learning to perform mitzvot. So Rav Lichtenstein looks at this and he says, wait a second, right? Maybe what's really happening, the Rambam never says the words, not in Hilchot Talmud Torah, not in Hilchot Kriyat Shema, not in Hilchot Tefillah, that Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, does not apply to Torah. He never says that. He just says that if one is learning, he must stop for Shema, and if he's learning, he must stop for Tefillah. But he doesn't say that that's because Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. And in fact, the Yerushalmi doesn't justify it that way. The Yerushalmi says the reason you have to stop learning to say Shema is because you have to learn on Menat La'asot. So what does that mean? Right? How would that help? So what he argues is as follows. Maybe Osek B'mitzvah, Patra Menat Mitzvah, of course applies to Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. It's explicit. It's a Mishnah, it's a Tosefta. We say it every day, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. What's the problem? The definition of Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah, which is Al Menat La'asot, which is oriented towards action. Now, what happens if you're learning Torah and now you're faced with the opportunity to say Shema and you don't say Shema? So you now prove that your Talmud Torah is Shelo Al Menat La'asot. And maybe what the Rambam thinks, and the Yerushalmi thinks, is that such a Talmud Torah is not defined as a Heftza of Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah, by its definition, is Talmud Torah which is oriented towards action. And the reason you have to stop learning to say Shema is not because Osek B'mitzvah is not Patur Min HaMitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah. But it's because if you fail the practice test, right, you're faced with an opportunity to put your learning into action and you don't do it, mimela, your Talmud Torah wasn't Talmud Torah. And if it wasn't Talmud Torah, so it wasn't a mitzvah. If it wasn't a mitzvah, it wasn't Poter Min HaMitzvah. Then why does it push off Kiddushin? Because if you're only delaying rather than nullifying a mitzvah, so you're not making a statement, my Talmud Torah isn't oriented towards action. Because you're saying, look, I'm not going to perform Kiddushin. I'm just going to do it later. I'm going to have kids later. I'm not giving up on the mitzvah at all. If I would miss Kriya Shema, right, I was learning all day, Maseches Brachos, all the halachos of Zmanim of Kriya Shema, and then the Zmanim of Kriya Shema would come, and I wouldn't stop learning to say Kriya Shema. I'd be proving that this is pure intellectual gymnastics, and not halacha, right, and not Limud HaManas Lasos. But if I say, look, I'm not giving up on Puravu. I just need some time. I need some time before I b'kayim puravu. So I'm not disproving my commitment to the mitzvah puravu, right? I'm just saying, look, I'm learning Yevamot right now. I'm learning about puravu, and I will do puravu in a year, 2 years. I have plenty of time, but I'm not giving up on it. Once you do that, your Talmud Torah becomes defined as Talmud Torah because you're not failing the practice test because you're merely delaying rather than nullifying a mitzvah. Mimela, your Talmud Torah becomes defined as Talmud Torah, and if it's defined as Talmud Torah, so Talmud Torah can I get kulam, and therefore, kal vachomer, if osek min ha-mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, then osek b'torah, pater min ha-mitzvah. And that's how Reb Lichtenstein tries to square this circle. Now, he also, that's the lumdus. Now, he also has a fascinating move here, which is that he keeps the brisker, litvish commitment to Talmud Torah lishma, right? Talmud Torah for its own sake, being the purest of the pure, but still recognizing that even such pure Talmud Torah lishma, it's not that when I'm learning I need to think I'm doing this only to act, right? There is a value Talmud Torah lishma as Rav Chaim Volozhin develops. It's what limud amanat lasos means. Some people think that limud lishma just means amanat lasos. Reb Lichtenstein says, no, it's a necessary but not sufficient condition of Talmud Torah. Meaning, if you're not doing amanat lasos, not meaning I learn only to do, but I learn also so that this is this will be implemented, then my Talmud Torah is not Torah. The highest level is where I don't only learn for the purpose of knowing what to do, but also lishma, whatever lishma means, right, for the sake of the Torah, but I can't lose that necessary condition, because then my Talmud Torah is not even Talmud Torah, to get to the point of being lima Torah lishma. And therefore he manages to maintain a commitment to the brisker ideal of Talmud Torah lishma, without denying the necessary component of Talmud Torah, of it at least being oriented at some level towards practice. And if you look at 14, this is how he formulates it, right? He says, we may suggest that the provision of Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, theoretically applies to Torah study as well. However, in order for the study Torah to grant such an exemption, must bear a certain quality, namely, that it is studied with the purpose of performing. When study is not accompanied by a sense of obligation and preparedness to bring the material to practical expression, it is inherently deficient and blemished. Undoubtedly, Torah learning involves more than a hechsher mitzvah. Torah study in and of itself is of inestimable value. In fact, this is the level of Torah study for its own sake, Torah lishma, that the sages praise so profusely, as Reb Chaim Voloshin emphasizes at great length. Nevertheless, Torah study bears this value only when the individual learns out of an ambition and desire to carry out what is demanded by the material he studies. Thus, when a mitzvah comes one's way, when one is in the midst of studying, one must interrupt one's learning, since one thereby passes the test of whether one not studies for the sake of performing. This does not mean that one involved in Torah does not earn an exemption from mitzvah. Rather, it flows from the fact that if he would not interrupt his learning, his very status as an Oseg B'Torah, one involved in Torah learning, would be called into question, as his learning would lack the dimension of a Manat Lasot for the sake of performing. This involves not a limitation on the provision of a Oseg B'Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah with respect to Torah study, but rather a redefinition of the type of Torah study that is capable of creating an exemption from mitzvot. So that's how Rav Lichtenstein wanted to square this circle in the Rambam. They're saying, yes, Oseg B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah applies to Talmud Torah, Kal V'Chomer, like it does everywhere else. And in fact, the Rambam never says otherwise. The only time the Rambam actually invokes the rule of Oseg B'mitzvah, he actually states programmatically that Oseg B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah applies to Talmud Torah as a paradigm. Why is it that in most circumstances this isn't true? Because if I'm actually giving up on a mitzvah because of Talmud Torah, mimela, I've proven that my Talmud Torah has no practical orientation and therefore is not defined as Talmud Torah, so mimela has no status of a mitzvah, so I'm not osik b'mitzvah at all, right? Which is a very radical claim. But that's how Rav Lichtenstein wants to solve the Rambam's language and halachot. And it doesn't suffer from the linguistic problems of the Aruch HaShulchan, Ramshik Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Just quickly, the way that, two of his proofs for this, or did I put it? Yeah, three of these proofs for it were as follows. I'll just say them quickly. One is that the Tosfos HaRash says that while one must stop learning Torah to say Kriyat Shema, one does not have to stop teaching Torah publicly for Kriyat Shema. He just has to say the first pasuk, but doesn't have to say the rest of Shema. So Rav Lichtenstein notes, why would you say that? So it's very simple. If I'm learning for myself, then the only reason that I would not say Kriyat Shema is because I prioritize theoretical learning over practical implementation. But if I don't stop for my public lecture for Kriyat Shema, I can justify it differently and say, look, if I was just learning for myself, and Achanami had stopped for Kriyat Shema, but here is 100 people's Talmud Torah on the line, I need to educate all these people in practice, that isn't saying my Torah is more important than actually implementing it. It's saying, look, there is a counter value here, and I can explain why this is not a abdication of the commitment Talmud not lasot. It's simply a recognition of the value of public Torah study. The Merachor Zarua has a huge chiddush, which Rav Lichtenstein notes is an extreme expression of his concept. Which is Merachor Zarua in number 11 here in Shuvah Kufpe Gimel argues that while you're in yeshiva, you're actually pater from kol hamitzvos ha'amuros b'Torah. Now, how could that possibly be? Right? We already said, how could it be that someone's in yeshiva, he doesn't have to do any mitzvah in the whole Torah? So Rav Lichtenstein says, according to his argument, it makes sense. It's the same as the Rambam by Ishus. If I'm just learning at a later stage in life, like I can't for my entire life say, I'm learning, and I'll do eventually. Because at some point, that rings hollow. Right? If for my entire life, I say, eventually I'll do this mitzvah, eventually I'll learn sukkah every year, and one day I'll sit in a sukkah, no one's going to buy that you really believe that your Talmud Torah is Amanat Lasot. But if you say, look, I'm going to yeshiva for 2 years, right, for 3 years, and that's it. And then I'm going home, and I'm going to go to college, I'm going to work, and then I'll learn an hour or two a day, and I'll live a normal religious life. You could at least explain conceptually why it would be legitimate to say, look, during that time, it's not that I'm shirking my responsibility to Asiyas Mitzvos. I set a very mitzumtzam, a very specific time where I'm only learning, so then I'll be able to live a life of Torah and Mitzvot. In order to do that, I need to learn 24-7 for these 2-3 years. That's not an abdication of Maaseh. That's simply delaying performance of other mitzvot, which again is more radical than Rambam, but it is a recognition that as long as it's temporary, as long as I can say my limud will eventually be action-oriented, then I could even apply a wider exemption, a wider osik b'mitzvah, to perhaps all mitzvot, at least on a temporary basis. His third Rishon, which goes in, he says goes in this direction, is Rashi, who has this interesting chiddush, who says that even if Talmud Torah doesn't pater you from mitzvos, from osik b'mitzvah, normally, walking to a shir, right, shabana l'shma drasha, you're pater while you're walking to a shir. And he says, how could that be, right? How could it be you're going to a shir, I'm pater min ha-mitzvah, but while I'm learning, I'm not pater min ha-mitzvah. So he says it's very simple. When I'm going to the shir, right, first of all, I'm not yet at the test, right? My Talmud Torah is not in question. And again, this is also a preparatory act, which is very mitzumtzam, right? I'm on my way to shir. I need to get there in time, right? I'm not shirking the responsibility of this mitzvah. It's just that right now, I have a very specific act I need to do. I'm getting to the shir. This is not a statement about life. And that's how Rav Lichtenstein explains, because it's Rashi, the Marach HaZorah, and Rashi, right, that if you accept the Rambam, this approach in the Rambam, then you could come to the conclusion that any time I can justify my not performing a mitzvah because of Talmud Torah without it being perceived as me abdicating the responsibility of not lasot at all, so then Mimela, my Talmud Torah, is Talmud Torah, and it justifies exempting me from mitzvah. And again, this squares the circle because it says, yes, when Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah, so it's the greatest of all mitzvahs and it paters from any other mitzvah. It's just that Talmud Torah, because of its sensitivity to Maaseh and the necessity of a lo mit amanat lasot. Again, this is how we read the Yerushalmi. The reason that you have to perform mitzvot is not because osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. It's because if you don't perform mitzvot, then your Torah was not amanat lasot. So that's why you have to do it, simply because your Torah is at a test of whether it really is Talmud Torah at all. And if you fail, your Talmud Torah wasn't a mitzvah at all. And then, again, this also helps him not just in the Rambam, but it helps him conceptually explain why he thinks the Talmud Torah Lishma is the greatest of all mitzvot without giving up on the sort of universally recognized value that Talmud Torah has to at least have a component which is oriented towards action, making it that Amanat Lasot is a necessary, if not sufficient, clause, right? The highest level of Talmud Torah might still be Lishma, but if it doesn't have at least that lower level of Amanat Lasot as well, then it's not even defined as Talmud Torah. So that's the way Rav Lichtenstein solved this problem, and as I said, it spills over into his philosophical approach in how I value different types of Talmud Torah. So that's his basic claim. Any thoughts? Any questions? Any?
Yeah. So I really like it, but I have one issue with it.
Yeah.
Which is he seems to be saying that for it to be amanat lasot, it has to be that other people perceive it as being amanat lasot.
Right, so I don't know if it's about perception or it's... I don't know if it's about perception as opposed to internal justification, right? Meaning, I need... Right, every time... I don't know if he means that, like, other people look at it and say... when I say justify, I don't mean, like, justify to others. I mean, like, existentially justify it, right? Meaning, I need to... Well, maybe put it differently, right? If I'm learning Masechet Sukkah, and then Sukkot comes, and I don't feel a compulsion to go out and put it into, right, like, if you know, people who learn Sukkah, they're so excited to go to buy their Lulav and Esrog, and then they can look, and they can check, and they can say, oh, I remembered this sugya of, you know, this type of color is kosher, this is pasul, this is mahadran, this is not mahadran, this shape, this size, this crack, right, it's yavesh, it's not yavesh, right, if I don't, like, feel that when I'm learning Sukkah, I'm learning Beit Hilchos Lulav, then... In what, right? There's something lacking in my Talmud Torah, right? If I'm giving a shir, I would love to go out and buy my lulav and esrog, but But you know what? There are 50 people here that in an hour need to go out and buy the Lulav and Esrog. So I'm going to miss Kriyas Shema because, look, you know, this entire shir is leaving at 10 o'clock, right? They davened early. I didn't realize. They davened early. I need to give them the halacha so they can go out and buy their Lulav and Esrog. So I'm helping them be Mekayim Mitzvot. It's not a perception issue. It's what is my experience, right? If I'm learning Maseches Sukkah and I don't feel like I need to stop learning to actually put it into practice, right? This is sort of the, I'm putting in the most stark terms, right? Then I didn't internalize that this is meant to be practiced. If, you know, I'm not going to stop for Kriyas Shema because, like, you know, other people, right? Other people here, I'm responsible to them. Or even the Maharal HaTzurah, look, I got a year or two of learning. I'm waiting in 2 years from now to put it into practice. I need the time right now to just focus. I can't waste a few hours to go out and buy Lulav and Esrog. Right? Again, it's not a perception thing. It's fundamentally, right? You can understand it on an emotional level, but I think, right, it points to the halachic sort of cognitive state that they're talking about, right? Meaning, if you don't feel a need when you're learning halacha to implement it, then you don't, right? You're treating this as mere theory without practice. Again, I don't think it's about perception as much as it is about what is your cognitive state, right? If you're learning in the, right, if you are learning with the cognitive state that I should be, this is something that's meant to be practiced, you're going to want to put it into practice. The fact that you don't, right, means that you're sort of missing that dimension. Right, so I don't know. I don't think Reuven Hanini is saying that other people will perceive it that way, as opposed to, right, it reveals something about my frame of my you know, frame of mind when I'm involved in Talmud Torah. I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah, but couldn't the person say, look, I want to go out and buy Lulav and Esrog, but I'm involved in a mitzvah, and so I'm not going to stop the mitzvah I'm involved into another mitzvah. Even though I want to, and even though this is what I want to do a person could want to, but not do it because of the principle of Osik Mitzvah Pasim and Mitzvah.
Correct, right? You could do that. Right, I mean, that's, right, the only way for someone to get around it would be to say, look, I'd like to do it, but I know that there's a technical, right, that there's a technical halacha here, and it's the halacha that's stopping me. And I think Rav Lichtenstein would respond and say, look, that's, you know, it can't be, right, that halacha can't do, I think he would say, right, that halacha can't encourage you to dissociate Torah from action, right? Meaning, it would be weird if the way that would be, right, play itself out would be that Osik B'Mitzvah tells me that I can always get out of the mitzvah that I'm learning about by simply making sure that I'm learning Torah, right? Like, as long as I start learning Torah, you know, from Yom Kippur till after Sukkot, then I never have to build a sukkah, live in a, right, build a sukkah, get a lulav and esrog, right? Meaning, then, you're right, you could do it, but it'd be weird for halacha to be formulated in such a way that it would enable the total abdication of practice, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, now the Rambam doesn't actually think it's impossible, right? Meaning, were you someone who's Taraso Mnaso, where you really are learning 24-7, so then the Rambam says in Echanami, right? But the average person that you're going to be doing other things, right? I think that's also part of it. Right? If I really am a person who's learning all the time, so then in Echanami, you really could do that. And then you could invoke Osik B'Mitzvah Patrim and HaMitzvah. But because a normal person, right, is going to learn for a few hours and eat and sleep and watch TV or talk with friends, right, for you to use the halachic system, right, or for the halachic system to have a clause that I could use the halachic system so that I could learn and not have to perform mitzvah that I'm learning about, right, when I don't learn 24-7 anyways, I'm just happening to learn when I need to perform a mitzvah, right, that would be antithetical to the purpose of Talmud Torah. I think that's what he would claim. Right? It's not that you can't get to that category. If I'm really Torah Som Naso, you would, but for the average person where he is doing other things anyways, to invoke a technical tour to allow me to make my Torah purely theoretical, right? Meaning, Right? You imagine it, right? I'll spend a few hours, you know, just schmoozing, wasting time, but when it comes time to actually, you know, but then, like, as soon as an hour before Sukkot comes, I'll learn the entire Sukkot, so I don't have to go to the Sukkah. But I wasn't learning all day Erev Sukkot. I was just, right, it's just all of Sukkot, right? You can see that it would be weird for Halacha to create such a... So I think that's what he would... it's a good point, but I think you'd have to tweak it a little bit, that either, some combination of the cognitive state plus Halacha not wanting to enable that sort of loophole reality, something along those lines. Anyways, that's what I think.
So just to clarify, so basically what you're saying is that this whole halacha is basically that Torah can't itself remove you from it being like a practical thing.
Bidyuk, right?
Yeah.
In a permanent sense, or in a sustained sense, not permanent, in a sustained sense, right? Right, barring possibly the person who's Trasa Omnasa, yeah. Okay. Anyways, I gotta head out, but Shkoyach for learning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Kol tov.
Yeah.